It's a fascinating panel at the Dallas Regional Chamber State of the Region meeting in Richardson. And it was a panel talking about, you know, what's going on in the region right now. And it all really came back down to mobility, which ultimately takes us to Michael Morris, who forever has been the Director of Transportation for the North Central Texas Council of Governments and has the unique position of looking at not just Dallas or just Fort Worth or Plano, but the entire region. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's very nice to be with you, David.
So, I mean, first of all, talk about the size, the scope of your region. I was really blown away. You see, there's a state, is it the state of Delaware can fit inside?
No, Maryland. So Maryland. We have a 16-county council of governments area, but under federal rule, we're the Metropolitan Planning Organization for 12 counties. And to give some feeling to the audience, the state of Maryland in land area and in population can fit inside the Dallas-Fort Worth region. So to some extent, we're a region, of course, but to another extent, we're like something bigger than the state of Maryland.
And it keeps getting bigger. And your point was the growth that we've seen, and we think of it, you know, the Dallas area, for example, moving north. And for, by the same token, the development that's moved north out of Fort Worth and to the south. And the reason, I mean, on the one hand, the land is out there, the developers are buying it, but there's some other aspects that have forced the development.
Yeah, so the good news is, you know, if you're in a world like most of us who live to be in a vibrant region that's growing, the good news is we're growing. We're growing at a rate of about 1 million people every 7 years. So it's quite a significant clip and at a significant magnitude. What is clear lately is more and more of that particular growth will occur in our perimeter counties. And, you know, it's good for those perimeter counties who wish to have the growth. But we have perimeter counties that really don't really want the growth. They don't know how to handle it, and it's going to change the spirit of that particular lifestyle. But what has occurred, and I think it's an unintended consequence, when cities would manage their city boundaries and have ETJs or extraterritorial jurisdiction, cities would eventually adjust their boundaries as they urbanized and bring them into the rules and police protection and fire protection and water conveyance and sewage treatment within their particular community. And, you know, several years ago, the legislature, because we're in a movement of less local control, has come up with a lot of procedures that make that very difficult. As a result, we've seen a lot of developers going to unincorporated parts of counties where the legislature has not granted those counties any ability to manage that particular growth. So from our development.
So we're talking about infrastructure. I mean, the right-of-ways and the ability fire trucks to get
the right-of-way width, the density of the housing, the amenities of the housing, setbacks, whatever's needed that cities do to manage their land use and zoning, you know, it basically doesn't exist. So we have situations where county officials come to us and say, well, we have a new development. It's on a 16-foot roadway. It permits parking in front of the house. If a fire were to occur, a fire truck can't go down the street.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those communities don't have fire protection anyway because they're in an unincorporated area or have a voluntary fire department. Most people, when they buy this home, because it looks like every other home in the region, they're assuming they have, you know, long-term water and sewage treatment, police and fire, and of course that's not the case. So it's a very awkward situation.
So what's the answer to this? You don't just sit. You just sit back and wait 20 years until it fails.
One item is a legislative item we have. Hey, legislature, can you at least have the county provide some minimum safety situation for this? So at least the roadway width can take a fire truck. So we're requesting the legislature to grant counties some ability to manage safety elements associated with this development and develop a crawl, walk, run approach to the problem. Otherwise, people like us are going to be chasing development in a much more expensive manner two, three, four times as expensive than if we had the ability to infill, you know, more urban areas or areas in transit service areas or density around rail stations, or at least have a larger share of it to be able to occur that way. So we're going to be facing a huge uphill cost increase that will show up in our new mobility plan to see if we can even come close to matching this 12.5 million people, which my suspicion is we're not going
to
be able to do it.
So you're going to have infill, right? I mean, you have to make it more attractive. We're already seeing cities that used to be considered sort of bedroom communities or outside of Louisville, you know, closing schools because the demographics have shifted. And they don't need elementary schools anymore because there are not as many kids.
Yeah, if you were me and you see a six-lane gridded southern Dallas County where I have six-lane thoroughfare streets on a east-west, north-south grid, I could put 100,000 people in there and probably update the traffic signal patterns. I put that magnitude of people in a rural part of a particular county, you know, we're going to have to build all the thoroughfares to the new schools. So you're building new schools, you know, 15 miles away from people closing schools. So it shows up in you know, lots of disciplines of our infrastructure.
Well, I mean, I understand you're a director of transportation, but it really does all come back down to mobility, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look at what, like you bring up, you know, a good point, David, is the look at what the changes the school districts have to make. You know, some schools have to build brand new schools at an unbelievable clip, like Aledo, and you have other districts near suburbs which are very successful closing schools. So we're not closing roads, but I'm not sure we're going to get enough revenue to be able to deal with the response to the growth that occurs in these particular communities.
We've seen tremendous growth, and it seems to be going on and on and on. But at some point, it starts working against itself, right?
Yeah. At some point, you know, if you go back to your college economics class, at some point, the externalities will catch up to you. Meaning, hey, I remember when Dallas-Fort Worth, you could get around, and the air quality was improving, and it was relatively safe, and roadways were reliable, and you had a reasonable expectation to get to your destination in a certain amount of time. And then at some point, one's going to wake up, and it's a non-linear relationship, so yeah, it doesn't take long.
And then on top of that, you layer affordability. We're not quite as affordable as we used to be.
Yep.
And then we have the ongoing struggle. I saw a survey that said that climate change was playing a role in this, and this place is just too darn hot.
Yeah, and we have an innovative project where, to make sure we don't run out of water, we're working on trying to capture stormwater and be able to clean it up in real time using maybe smart culverts that close gates, trap the water, clean it up, and recharge the aquifers. So what can transportation do on advanced technologies to actually help on the water supply side? So you got education concerns. You heard Judge Jenkins in the conference talk about mental health and health concerns. You got water availability. We didn't even get to the electric grid today. But these challenges, bad things can occur if we can't get out in front of them.
Yeah, also, you have this enormous, we've talked about this enormous area, but you also have all of these different entities. You know, in Houston, they develop, you know, municipal utility districts that incorporate it is all Houston. Here, you have the Dallas Area Rapid Transit, which, you know, covers 13 communities, but also the, you know, the Denton has its own transit system, and the T in Fort Worth, and they have to coordinate and not work at cross purposes, but they're all different entities.
Yeah, the cool part is we put all those on our board of directors called the Regional Transportation Council. You have three transportation authorities, you have a toll authority, you have DFW International Airport. You got counties, you got cities. When you sit around the table and work together as an integrated team, which the Regional Transportation Council has done in my 40 years, it really is cool to see a whole bunch of people focused on the region, where the region comes first and the benefit of everyone. And by putting everyone in an ability to communicate and partner, it's a pretty nice path forward.
So it's fascinating to watch transit and transportation dictate growth. And I think of what's happened in Grand Prairie, which just has blossomed. And it's because of the George Bush, the 161 extension. And the same thing's happened with the outer loop, I guess, around 121, you know, moving north around Dallas County.
Well, supporting your point, David, Grand Prairie was shortchanged on frontage roads, both on Interstate 30, because it was a former toll road, and on Interstate 20, because Interstate 20 was shortchanged and treated different than LBJ. And the partnership program we created with Grand Prairie is, if you'll help us take a toll road, you're getting a toll road instead of a 360, we will advance the frontage roads on your Interstate 30 and 20. So Grand Prairie has benefited from better access on 20 and 30, and obviously tremendous economic growth on the George Bush.
You obviously know what you're talking about. Michael Morris has been watching and playing a strong hand in the growth of this area for over 40 years. He's Director of Transportation for the North Central Texas Council of Governments. We appreciate the time.
David, thank you very much for
the
opportunity.
For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.